I read to you from the 27th Psalm, verses 1 through 5 and 13 through 14. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
And the gospel reading this morning is Mark 1, 14 to 20. If we can find it. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Thus ends the reading.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A few days ago, I read a reflection on the gospel reading, written by a California writer and blogger, who's also a director of children and family ministries at St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Palo Alto. I don't know how I stumbled onto her a couple of years back, but I'm glad I did. She's brilliant. I read her blogs occasionally and always find something nourishing there. But when I read the one that I read earlier in the week, it wouldn't let me go. I went back to it and read it 3 days in a row. And yesterday morning, I figuratively tore up the sermon that I'd been working on during the week. And I'm going to share a good chunk of what Debbie Thomas writes so beautifully to us, I think. It was a gift to me when I read it, and I know it will be a gift to you as we together discern the way forward for Bethany Church. Later on in the service, Charlie and Regina are going to read to you the responses that many of you offered on Reformation Sunday when you took up the question of how you might reform the church. Not surprisingly, your responses ran the gamut. We are a diverse group of folk. And I thought this would be a good day to share those, pairing it with the gospel text of Jesus' calling of the disciples. Because what we do as we look together to the future of our church is really to consider our discipleship. We ask the question, where will Jesus lead us? Individually and as a congregation, how will we follow? What's ahead for us? Debbie Thomas offers some rich insights. And I should say that even though I've read the responses, and one of them said something about my reading my sermons, I am unapologetically reading today because I don't want to miss one amazing word of Debbie Thomas. Here is what she writes. She tells us that Jesus' call in this story of the calling of the disciples is specific and particular, rooted in the language, culture, and vocation his hearers know best. What metaphor would make more sense to four fishermen than the metaphor of fishing for people? Simon and Andrew would have understood the nuances of that metaphor in ways I never will. James and John knew from years of hard-won experience what depths of patience, resilience, intuition, and artistry professional fishing require. These men knew the tools of the trade, the limitations of their bodies, and the potential dangers those limitations posed, and the life and death importance of timing, humility, and direction. Most of all, they knew the water. They knew how to respect it, how to listen to it, and how to bring forth its best in due time. When Jesus called these tried and true fishermen to follow him, they understood the call not as a directive to leave their experience and intelligence behind, but to bring the best of their core selves forward, to become even more fully and freely themselves. In other words, she continues, we don't follow Jesus in the abstract. We don't heed his call in general as if Christianity comes down to nothing more than attending church or being a nice person. If we're going to follow him at all, Bethany people discerning our way, we'll have to do it in the highly specific particulars of the lives, communities, cultures, families, and vocations we find ourselves in. We'll have to trust that God prizes our intellects, our muscle memories, our backgrounds, our educations, our skills, and that God will multiply, shape, and bring to fruition everything we offer up to God in faith from the stuff of our daily lives. To the engineer, maybe Jesus says, follow me and build my people. To the visual artist, follow me and paint the colors of the kingdom. To the stay-at-home parent, follow me and nurture my children. To the dancer, follow me and dance the spirit. To the physician, follow me and heal broken souls. To all of us, follow me and I will make you ... This is a promise to cultivate us, not to sever us from what we love. It's a promise rooted in gentleness and respect, not violence and coercion. It's a promise that when we dare to let go, the things we relinquish might be returned to us anew, enlivened in ways we could not have imagined on our own. Most importantly, it is a promise from God to us, not from us to God. As Barbara Brown Taylor, another brilliant, absolutely brilliant writer and theologian, so aptly puts it, this story in Mark's gospel is a miracle story. Jesus calls the four, and the four fishermen immediately follow. No hesitation, no questions asked. Is this because they're men of superhuman courage or prophetic foreknowledge? Of course not. These are the same guys who later in the gospel doubt, deny, and abandon Jesus. They're as fallible as ordinary as the rest of us. And their own volition can't get them very far. They immediately follow Jesus because Jesus makes it possible for them to do so. This is not a story about us, Taylor writes. It's a story about God and about God's ability not only to call us, but also to create us as people who are able to follow. Think about that. Able to follow because we cannot take our eyes off the one who calls us. Because he interests us more than anything else in our lives, because he seems to know what we hunger for, and because he seems to be food. Debbie Thomas continues, "What bothered me as a child and bothers me still about the fishing metaphor is that we so easily misinterpret it to mean that we have the power to hook or to catch others for God. We don't. We are not called to cajole, manipulate, trap, bully, or even persuade others to accept Jesus or join our religion. It is God alone who captures the imagination. God alone who makes the vision of God's kingdom come alive in a human soul. All we can do is embody the vision in the particulars of our lives, reflecting into the water the profound beauty of who Christ is. The rest is utterly up to God." Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I think the Holy Spirit fired up Debbie Thomas to share exactly what ears and hearts at Bethany needed to hear at this very moment in our lives together as we move into this new year, ready and willing to think beyond where we are and what we have been, not letting go of the good things that we are together, but imagining along with our God what may yet be. We need to be encouraged by this writer and others who remind us of the unimaginable attraction that God's kingdom lays out for us. It is such a privilege to be called by God. Not easy, often messy. Sometimes takes us to places we would never hope to go. But God waits for us there, in those very places. And Jesus shows up, and we look at him, and we know. We know that we'll say yes. I can hardly wait to see what God will do with us. Amen. So Charlie and Regina have the list of responses. These are the words that you put on post-it notes and stuck on a door in the front of the sanctuary when you were asked about how you would reform the church. We have copies for all of you after worship, but I wanted you to hear before you read those responses. Oh, you might just see them exactly as they came off the page.
Okay. Would you like me to begin? These are somewhat put into categories. So I'll just say at the beginning of the sheet that you will see, it said the question posed on Reformation Sunday on the 29th of October was, how would you reform the church today? And the following are responses received during worship. Small number came via email after the worship service, and responses are recorded exactly as they were written on the post-it notes. So under the first category of worship, mix in some contemporary music such as God Will Make a Way, or more familiar old songs such as Amazing Grace.
I came to Bethany for its wonderful music. Maybe make the third Sunday of each month be Music Sunday. Maybe the second Sunday be Nature Sunday, to share stories of finding God in the natural world. Combine this with the church community breakfast, since folks find their faith in nature.
More lively, contemporary music to sing and worship.
Introduce music that will appeal to those that don't necessarily enjoy hymns. Music that is a bit more vibrant and exciting may draw a younger crowd.
Music as you enter the chancel, music during communion.
Vibrancy and excitement in preaching, music, worship service, youth programs.
How can we adjust our worship style and times to be more open to the needs of our wider community?
Drama ministry with music.
Stop reading your sermons. Free your special personality.
Sermons with self-disclosure of personal failures, feelings, the process of healing. Talk about what helped, as in something said to self.
Sit next to someone you don't know in a new place in the church.
Prayer. Reclaim the Christian contemplative tradition as a way to move closer to God's presence within.
Let us be open to the mystery and transfigurational prayer of the ancient tradition of contemplation, transforming ourselves and our world.
I would like to hear the church pray for our president and administration to be guided and supported to be as successful as possible. The church prays for so many other things.
Under the header of fellowship, couples club dinners once a month at homes or church.
Imagine something, tea, lunch, supper, crafting, storytelling, etc., happening in the church every day.
Under the header of outreach, let's be a church that does for others, not for ourselves.
I already suggested using Bethany House for housing or a drop-in center, but my passion is a men's group that addresses respectful relationships with women, which seems to be pertinent with Me Too and Time's Up.
Shield sex offenders and victims of the offense.
Take on the reforming of the Department of Correction. Make it a place of healing, not punishment. Minister to those in prison. Teach skills. Teach kindness.
A portable tall sign on the sidewalk which reads, "Please come in."
You are special. Come and help us also to be special to others. Come join us.
Our congregation is middle class. How can we include the less fortunate?
Ask a neighbor for a meal to your house.
Get out that door and listen for what is needed that we may respond.
Develop emergency housing in the second floor of Bethany House.
We should be speaking for those without voice and power. A current concern is for the Rohingya people who are refugees from Burma living off the coast of Bangladesh. Welcome the stranger and offer support whenever we can.
Sponsor immigrants.
Actively sponsor a refugee family.
We should be the church of the public bathroom and shower with a friend on duty.
Racism is a threat to our society. We must take a stand.
Make the presence of God be felt in the community.
Once a month or quarter, fill a box of presents for a family in need like we do with Christmas gifts, with a simple message that Bethany loves our neighbors.
How do we take the church outside the walls? Have an evening, late afternoon, short service on the front lawn?
More mission opportunities beyond the community.
In the category of youth and young adult, have the youth groups, comprised of many non-Bethany youth, present a musical that will attract their families to a potluck performance. Parents could assist with props, costumes, etc.
Extend youth group for college students.
Seek the voices and ideas of 30-somethings. Perhaps invite the Bethany Youth Group members from 1998 and 1993, gathering for their 20th high school reunions on the 4th of July, to come to church that Sunday and for conversation after. Renew acquaintances, but also what draws them to faith in 2018. Experiences from new locations that draw in 30-somethings.
An affordable after-school program to ease the financial burden for families while welcoming new people and youth to Bethany.
Let Bethany minister to the growing spiritual depression in Randolph by paying much more attention than in the past to the pain of our youth.
Activities with other churches, including youth groups combining sometimes.
Encourage youth.
Encourage Kiki to learn how to jump out of trees, not to stop jumping out of trees. It's on the paper, Ray.
In the general, broader category, discard original sin, judgment, and atonement theology. Move to original grace, that creation is God, evolving, and that God's love embraces all.
For me, it's not out of the box. Continue to stress acceptance, tolerance, while offering opportunities to grow spiritually and to work for peace and justice. Stress inclusivity, forgiveness, and accountability, and love as demonstrated by Jesus. And teach children and adults Bible knowledge and interpretation. Realize that we're all at different places on our spiritual journey.
If we say all are welcome on our door, we must find a way to accept, support, protect, and encourage the growth of all who take the risk to join us.
The messages of the Old and New Testaments, as well as of the Reformation, reflected the culture, science, and cosmology of their times. Who now understands and is speaking God's will in the language of today?
Incorporate scientific discovery and modern theory revelations into the appreciations, glorifications of all that is creation. What master craftsman does not want his work appreciated at all facets of its complexity?
Considering the way my grandchildren learn from computers, we hear are about as relevant as mud.
Be politically active.
Be an active presence in community organizations.
Be kind. Be loving. Be gentle. Be generous. Be filled with joy.
The community would greatly benefit if we spent more time in doing justice and less time discussing it. More action, please.
Find better, more creative ways to nurture our fellowship community so that we can be the church of tomorrow.
It appears we have some work to do.
Last night I had the strangest dream I've ever dreamed before. I dreamed the world had all agreed to put an end to war. I dreamed I saw a mighty room filled with women and men. And the paper they were signing said we'd never fight again. And when the papers were all signed and 1,000,000 copies made, they all joined hands and bowed their heads, and grateful prayers were made. And the people in the streets below were dancing round and round with guns and swords and uniforms all scattered on the ground. Last night I had the strangest dream I've ever dreamed before. I dreamed the world had all agreed to put an end to war. Thank you, Ed McCurdy, Arlo Guthrie.